When I was a youngster, I learnt this little song. I'm sure many of you know it. It speaks about the days that we face ahead. It says this: I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face the future with his problems, large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. And isn't that true? We don't know what lies ahead in 2021. But God is with us. He will guide us. And we can trust him with all our problems, whether great or small. We're going to look today at the matter of persevering. 2020 has been a very difficult year for many, many people. And there's a danger for Christians to give up, to throw in the towel, to think, well, what's the use in persevering? Life isn't very colourful. Life is difficult. Well, we're going to look at a verse in Acts chapter 21 today and consider how Paul, at a juncture in his life, could have been tempted to go back, but was willing to go forward, knowing that God was with him and God had a plan. But before we do that, I'd like you to open your Bible to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, reading from verse 3 to 11. And here we'll see how Paul understood that in all our tribulations, God comforts us. And God is a God who delivers us, even from the worst of situations. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Paul says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which happened to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. We thank God for the reading of his word. Shall we bow in prayer? Almighty, eternal, invisible, all-wise God, we are in your presence this night, and we ask, O Lord, for a sense of your nearness. We pray that the truth of your word would penetrate our minds and affect our hearts and our wills. We bless you once more that we can call you our Father, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. Thank you, O Lord, that we have peace with you through the blood of the cross. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all of our sins have been covered. And thank you that you love us and you are taking us to glory. Lord, the way is difficult and there are many uncertainties before us. And as Christians, we realise that we face the hostility of the world and the pressure of living a different lifestyle. Oh Lord, we pray that we might trust you and that we would, Lord, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured all the scorn, all the mocking, and went outside the camp and suffered for us upon the cross. Help us to follow him outside the camp. Help us to take up our cross and follow him. And Lord, we thank you that you have said that as the tribulations, as the afflictions abound, so much more the consolation abounds in us. If we partake of the suffering, we will also partake of the glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a sovereign God who maps out our footsteps, who plans good works for us to walk in, and a God who will never leave us and never forsake us. We thank you for the intercession of our Lord Jesus, for his prayers for his people. We thank you for the groaning of the Holy Spirit within our bodies, who groans with inexpressible groans, interpreted only by you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God, which is our lamp to our feet and our light to our path. Illumine our minds this evening. Speak to our hearts, move our wills, and edify us and build us up on the rock, Jesus Christ. And if there are things that need knocking down, our pride, our self-trust, our self-will, that you would speak to our hearts and move us, Lord, to greater humble dependence upon you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the verse I'd like to turn you to this evening is found in Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. We've looked at this verse in part before. Paul is on his way from Ephesus. He's met the Ephesian elders there and is on his way to Jerusalem. He's propelled by the Spirit. He has a deep urge with him to go to Jerusalem for various reasons. One, to fulfill a vow that he's made before the Lord, a vow of consecration. Secondly, he wants to meet with the believers there, tell them what God has done amongst the Gentiles. And he knows that it will be suffering. Agabus the prophet has told him that he will be in chains and bound, but he believes that God has purposes, will eventually bring him to Rome. Now, in the house of Philip the evangelist in Caesarea, the stop-off place before he arrives in Jerusalem, the people there, having heard the prophecy of Agabus that Paul will be bound in chains, try to do all they can to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. They want to dissuade him. And this is Paul's reaction, Acts 20, verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Staggering statement. Here's Paul. In a previous city, by the Spirit of God, people have told him not to go. Now people are weeping and doing all they can to dissuade him. But believing that this is God's will, he's willing to take up his cross and follow his master to suffering in Jerusalem. He knows that God has been with him in the past and given him great grace, and God will give him grace now. He's doing it for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus. He knows that through suffering, Christ will be honoured. His one goal in life is to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. And so he doesn't throw in the towel, or he doesn't turn back, but he goes forward in the grace of Christ. Now you and I may not and will not face the difficulties that the Apostle Paul faced, but we have our trials. Some have deep family trials, relationship difficulties with children, with husband, with wife. Some have deep personal trials that they cannot talk to others about. Some have concerns for loved ones, burden for them. Some have the great pressure of work and difficulties as a Christian standing for truth. Others face financial hardship. Others have trials of uncertainty and difficulty. But you know, just as much as God gave grace to the Apostle Paul to take up his cross and follow Christ to Jerusalem, so we may go into 2021 trusting that Christ will be with us, that there is grace sufficient for us. And whatever tribulation that we face, God will comfort us in it. Now, Paul was a man just like you and I. He wasn't a superhero. Didn't have an extra super strength you and I haven't got. Didn't have a special type of temperament that enabled him to overcome trials. No, he was a weak sinner. But he knew that in Christ he could do all things. He had learned that there were resources in God. He knew that by the power of the Holy Spirit he could overcome. And he knew that to do the will of God was best. And so he goes forward. Now, the first thing I'd like to say this evening is this, that Paul had experienced much grace in the past. And because of that, I believe he was able to trust God for the future. Think of it. Look over for the last year. Think how God has blessed you despite the difficulties. Recount some of those difficult months, but remember how God was with you. Or perhaps look over the last 10 years of your life. If you're a Christian, you'll be able to record deliverances. You'll be able to speak of God's kindness, of his goodness, of his provision, of his comfort, of his grace. Forget not all his benefits today. Remember his mercies. And just as much as God was with you then, he is with you now, and he will be with you in 2021. Think of what Paul faced at the beginning of his Christian life. He felt ostracized. The church in Jerusalem wouldn't accept him. They were worried that he was an infiltrator. He couldn't open the doors of a church or a building and enter in. It was impossible. They were scared of him. They thought he was an imposter. It took Barnabas to take Paul to the apostles and to tell what God had done in Paul's life for the church to receive Paul and give him the right hand of fellowship. Suspicion and non-acceptance by others is a difficult, bitter pill to swallow, but God gave Paul grace. Then when he went out as an evangelist and a missionary, preaching in every city, it seemed that in every place there was persecution. He faced riots in certain places, beatings in other places, imprisonments also. And yet God gave him grace. God delivered him miraculously. God strengthened him. And not once did he turn back. Then he faced the pain of separation, division between him and Barnabas, perhaps one of the most difficult experiences that he was to go through in life. It's hard, isn't it, if you have a trusted friend, somebody near to you, or somebody who you've relied on, maybe you've opened your heart to them, or you've worked with them, and then they turn on you, and they oppose you. But that wasn't the case between Paul and Barnabas. It wasn't a turning against him, but there was a deep division, and both had strong opinions, and they parted ways. That was hard for Paul, and yet God gave him grace. I've been reading about John MacArthur recently, and I learnt about how once he, having trained numbers of men on a Saturday morning for 8 years, went into his office and five of them were there, and he began to thank them. These men were now studying at a seminary, preparing to go into the ministry. He'd given them many ministry opportunities, and he thanked them for all of their support and all of their love and all of their care. And then one of them turned round and said, "We don't support you. We don't agree with you. You're too domineering. We don't like you." And they wanted John MacArthur to stand down from his ministry position. How terrible. He faced mutiny. These five men, four of them didn't end up in the ministry. John MacArthur recorded that day as Black Tuesday, a very painful day. Men he'd invested in turned upon him. But God gave him grace to go forward. He was only a young man, his early 30s. He didn't give up the ministry. The Apostle Paul faced far worse than that. Once he was stoned and he was almost dead, but God raised him up. On another occasion, he was left all alone in Corinth as a missionary, preaching alone. On another occasion, he faced a severe accident as somebody fell out of a window whilst he was preaching. He also faced the slander of the Jews who poisoned the minds of others. The Apostle Paul faced the misunderstanding of the church about his work amongst the Gentiles, the matter having to be resolved by a council in Jerusalem. He faced slander, opposition, misunderstanding, beatings. But God was with him, and he knew grace at each stage. Think of John MacArthur after 18 years in the ministry. away on an elder's retreat. Numbers of them turn round and say to him, your sermons are too long, the application's not there, you have too high a profile, you don't share the pulpit. John MacArthur turned round and said, well, what do you want me to do? I'm happy to leave. On that retreat, he went into his room for 5 hours. When he came out, there was still no resolution. It ended up in 250 people leaving that church. What a painful experience to go through. Paul knew many painful experiences. And here he is now. And he's feeling the love of the believers in Caesarea, in the house of Philip the evangelist, because they love him so much, they don't want him to go to Jerusalem and suffer. And yet, he knows that he must not go give way to their request, but he must follow the Lord's will and go. And there is grace for him. He's known grace all his life. He's learned to trust God. He's learned to be content in every situation. And so, facing this crossroads, will he give in to the requests of his friends, or will he go forward? It's an easy choice. He'll go forward for the name and the sake of the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe the key to understanding this verse is in fact found in those final words of verse 13. For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. The honour of Christ, the glory of Christ was uppermost in his mind. He loved his Saviour who bled and died for him, who'd rescued him from his self-righteousness, who'd rescued him from the way in which he was going, redeemed him and saved him. And he was prepared to do anything for his Saviour. He looked up to Christ. He looked away from his friends. And he looked up to Jesus Christ. And he considered his glory and his honour. And so he went forward. Now you and I, as we go forward into 2021, if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, he has promised us that all things will be added to us, that his grace is sufficient for us. In life, we often need examples to help us along the way. Some of us have been greatly helped as we've listened to people like Joni on the internet or been to a conference, and all of us suffering with such joy trusting Christ. Others have been helped through the role models that we find in Scripture, people like Moses or Joshua or the Apostle Paul himself. But above all, we look to Jesus Christ. He is our great example. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says this, remember those who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. The Apostle Paul was a living example to those believers. They would say, see how much this man loves Christ. See how God uses him. And after he'd been to Jerusalem, and he's eventually in Rome, and they would hear of all that God was doing through him in Rome, they would look back and say, this is a role model for us. This is somebody who really does trust Christ. If God has been with him and helped him and strengthened him in the most difficult of situations, will he not help us also? The writer to the Hebrews talks about a cloud of witnesses that we have around us. We're running a race. And we're to run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are to persevere as Christians. We are to forget the things that are in the past. We are to press on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are not to be stagnant. We're to run with endurance the race that is set before us, knowing that there is this cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, as if they're cheering us on. Moses, Joshua, now we can say Paul, now we can say Peter, now we can say some of the reformers, or William Tyndale, or Spurgeon. These great cloud of witnesses, we look up to them. We thank God for their example. And those in our own personal lives who've been a help to us, we seek to follow their faith. Hebrews 13:7, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. We see how God blessed them, how God used them, the character that was formed in them. Think of Spurgeon, for example, what suffering he endured. Gout for many years, depression, much criticism when he was in his early 20s, the beginning of his ministry. His wife filled a scrapbook, a thick scrapbook, which contained newspaper cuttings of all the criticism that was made against him, an imposter, a charlatan, all sorts of things, awful to face. His wife, his beloved wife, after giving birth to their two sons, twins, had awful gynecological problems. And for the next 25 years or more, she could not hear her beloved's husband preach. And he did not have her alongside him in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Spurgeon suffered much. Through illness, he had to spend many months in Mentone in France, recovering. Great depression of soul. The rejection eventually of many fellow Baptist ministers, but all consider the outcome of his conduct. How many thousands and millions of sermons have been delivered throughout the world in so many different languages. What God did through him in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, thousands coming to faith in Christ. That man persevered to the end. He knew the grace of perseverance. So let us remember their faith and follow them. But above all, though we have this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He scorned its shame because he knew that he would save his people from their sin and he would see the travail of his soul and he would be satisfied. So look to Jesus. Remember Gethsemane, remember the agony. Remember him going alone to the cross, remember him carrying his cross. Then Simon from Cyrene carrying it for him, so weak. Remember the nails banged into his hands and his feet. Remember him being hoisted up on that cross. Remember the 6 hours of long agony. Remember his words upon the cross, his words of love. Remember that he bore your sin. Remember the sky turned black and he bore the judgment of God, hell itself. Remember all that he suffered for you, how he loved you. And if he's given himself for you, will he not help you now? He prays for you on high, he intercedes for you. He's given you the Spirit. There are so many promises. Look to Jesus. Consider him lest you be weary in your soul. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's what Paul did. For the name of the Lord Jesus, he was willing to go to Jerusalem. If we're to know the grace of perseverance, we're to look not to ourselves, but to look to the Lord Jesus. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, we read this: God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You may feel at your wit's end. You may feel depressed. You may feel very low. You may feel that you've got no strength. You're very weak. That's good. In Christ, there is a fullness of abundance. In God, there is all sufficiency for all things, that you might have an abundance for every good work. When you're weak and empty, he's able to fill you. He's able to strengthen you. So with those burdens for your family, with those burdens at work, with those burdens in that particular trial that you are going through, or that relationship difficulty, remember, his grace is sufficient for you. Turn with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 to 11. Let's remind ourselves of the grace the Apostle Paul experienced. He said to the church in Corinth, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, that we despaired even of life." Yes, we were in that hole. We were in the pit. It was beyond us, beyond measure. We despaired even of living. It was that bad. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. But why? That we might trust in God and not in ourselves. That we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Do you believe that little chorus? He is the God of the impossible. We do not know what lies ahead, the way we cannot see. But one stands near to be our guide. He'll show the way to us. I know who holds the future. He'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems, large and small, I trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. Paul trusted that God was able to raise him from the dead. And so he says he did deliver us. He delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. And in whom we trust, he will still deliver us. You also helping in prayer for us. Friends, we're not alone. We're part of a body. It's not just about your walk and my trials and your trials. We stand together. We pray for one another. We seek to help one another. Paul was amongst friends. They may have sought to deter him to go to Jerusalem, but they were for him and they accepted what he said. And he was willing and prepared then to go to Jerusalem, knowing that his friends were for him. God does answer prayer. John MacArthur may have suffered with that mutiny of five of those men who he poured his life into rejecting him. Well, four of them came back. He may have suffered 250 members of the church leaving, but he reckons about 190 returned and came back into membership. You see, they didn't know what they're doing. They were led astray by false rumours and lies, but God worked. God doesn't always do that in the same way. But we can be sure that whatever the future holds, he will keep us. He will take us to be with him in glory. Some of us over the last few years have been following Sean and Tanya Abrahams in Ireland. Numbers of prayers have gone up from Tabor Baptist Church for them. Prayers particularly for Tanya, who's been suffering with cancer. Twice in the past, God delivered her from cancer and cured her. But now in December, the Lord has seen fit to take Tanya to be with himself. And Sean has grieving greatly, but he's put those words on Facebook. John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I have gone to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you will be also." We can go forward into 2021. Because God is for us, and if God is for us, who can be against us? Christ is preparing rooms for us in glory, mansions in glory, and one day we will be at home with him. Paul looked beyond this world. Like Abraham of old, he looked for that city which has foundations. Paul looked to be with Christ in glory. There is grace in all our difficulties. There's grace for all that we suffer. Now, to conclude, I want to just remind you what did happen to Paul. He did get to Jerusalem. He was able to talk to the elders and tell of all that God had done amongst the Gentiles. He was able to fulfill his vow. He even paid for other men to perform a vow also in order to keep unity within the Church of Christ. You see, his burden was for the glory and honour of Christ, and so the unity of the church meant so much to him. But lies were spoken about him, and the devil used misinformation about him, and it ended up in a riot. Turn with me to chapter 21 and verse 28. Here is he, and Jews have come from Asia to stir up trouble. He's in Jerusalem, he's been into the temple, and men cry out, and they say this to their fellow brethren in Israel, men of Israel, help. This is the man Paul, who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. The devil is stirring up trouble for Paul. The devil's behind this. And now there are bloodthirsty men who want to take his life. Verse 31. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison. He comes, he seeks to protect Paul, but verse 36, the people cry out, away with him. It's as if Paul is going through what his saviour went through. The crowds cried out about his saviour, the Lord Jesus, crucify him, away with him. Paul's in that same position. But God has a purpose. And Paul sees an opportunity. And he stills the crowd. And he wants to give testimony to all that the Lord has done in his life. And so verse 37, he says, may I speak to you? For he replied, can you speak Greek? And then Paul goes on and says this, I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, citizen of no mean city. I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. And Paul is given a platform and he gives his testimony of all that God has done in his life and the calling that he has to go to the Gentiles. You see, Paul trusted the Lord. If you know the end of the story, you'll realise that eventually Paul was taken to Rome as he appealed to Caesar, and there God would use him also. God gave grace for Paul to go to Jerusalem. It wouldn't be easy. He was bound. He did suffer, but he testified to Christ, and what an example he was to the church. For the sake of the Lord Jesus, Paul went forward, knowing that though difficulties lie before us in this life, the best is yet to come. Glory. May you and I go forward, honouring the name of the Lord Jesus, looking to him who bled and died for us. And may we know the grace of perseverance. You may be tempted to throw in the towel, to go back, not to press on. Brother or sister, look to Christ. Press on in your Christian life. He will be with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Amen. May God bless his word to you.